Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor Oscar Clavel delivers the message entitled, Hagios Pneuma, the Apostles' Creed, I Believe in the Holy Ghost.
Our gospel reading this morning is found in John's Gospel, chapter 14, and I'll be reading verses 15 through 31. John 14, 15 to 31. Jesus said, If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I've said these things to you while I'm with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I've said to you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away, and I'm coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now, I've told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us be on our way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. Let us hear God's word. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. And let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks once again for your presence with us. We ask you now, God, for the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts to be pleasing in your sight. Holy Spirit, speak to us the words that we need to hear, the words of life to encourage us for this day and the journey ahead. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As some of you know, I went to a very small college. There's about 1,200 students, which is probably smaller than most high schools in big towns. But it was a small Christian college. I was very excited to be there. And two surprises happened the first day that I arrived on campus. The first is that I found out I would be living with five other guys in a single dormitory room. And I was a little bit anxious about that. I'd grown up with my brother, and he was very dirty. And so living with five other guys did not appeal to me that much. The other is I had arrived just a bit early, before most people had. But another guy, one of my roommates named JR, had arrived a few weeks before. And come to find out, JR had only come to this school. because he was given a scholarship to play football. I went to introduce myself to JR, who was playing video games. I said, "Hi, my name is Oscar." And he just looked at me, nodded, and went back to his video game. JR did not speak to me or anybody else for 3 months. He'd come in and out of the dorm, he'd do his business, and he'd never said anything to us. But all that changed one night at 3 o'clock in the morning when JR shook me awake from sleep. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is it. This is how I die. The guy who had never talked to you all of a sudden is shaking you to wake up. And JR is saying, "Hey, I want you to come to church with me on Sunday." I'm like, "What?" And he proceeds to tell me of the church he had just gone to, and I would come to know Jesus Christ. He was so excited that at 3 o'clock in the morning, he just couldn't keep it inside anymore, and he had to tell somebody, and he decided to wake me up to share the good news. Now, what happened to JR is not an exception. It's actually the norm within Christianity. Many of us have witnessed the power of God that redeems our broken humanity, and we have seen God breathe new life not only into us, but to many other people. Now, JR was very dramatic. The guy who had never talked to us all of a sudden became the most talkative person in our room. The guy who was mean became the most gracious and loving one of us all. He truly had an encounter with the risen Lord and was transformed. Now, not everybody has these, what we would say, dramatic experiences of conversion. But all of us, in one way or the other, whether we grew up in the church and just over time came to know who Jesus was and loved him and followed him, we had many brothers and sisters here around. All of us, though, have yet been through the very same steps that JR went through. And it's what Paul talks about in our text this morning. Paul says that all of us, in one way or the other, have gone through this very simple progression. Paul says we all start off living and breathing and living in the flesh. And for Paul, the flesh is that thing that we discover about ourselves, that we have these desires within us, and that if we allow them full reign, they produce such things as impurity, jealousy, fits of rage, lack of self-control. And Paul says these things, in a sense, are almost natural to all of us. They are the works of the flesh. And he says one of the things, though, is that these ways of living of the flesh don't produce the type of society that allows one to flourish or allows there to be much joy for anybody. And Paul says, because this is so opposed to what God has set in his order, he says God will not permit these behaviors or these ways of being, these desires, to be a part of his people. You see, one of the things that God is doing in Jesus Christ is he is creating a new man and a new woman out of the flesh. And so Paul says what is really happening to all of us is we are making this movement from death to life. And so when we first hear the gospel, we are excited, and the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, and people are renewed. And the first sign of that is that we have faith in Jesus Christ. But we understand that within those of us who have professed Christ, there's also the Spirit at work. And Paul says there are then the fruits of the Spirit that begin to bear in the life of a believer. And he highlighted some of them: love, patience, joy, generosity, self-control. But he also understands, and he's not naive, neither should we be, that somehow these things will come now naturally to us because we have the Holy Spirit. In fact, Paul would argue against us and say, no, there is still a work that you need to put, an intentionality, an effort that one must put forward, either a reflection, of prayer, of acting, of doing what God has asked us to do. And Paul says, we do this because we have been charged to live by the Spirit. Key word being here, live. If we are to live in the Spirit, we are to live a certain way, act and do a certain thing. And so Paul here urges us that we are, in a way, and in a sense, we are being transformed that way of the flesh with its desires, now to, by the Holy Spirit, to the life in the Spirit, where we are purposely and intentionally coming to know Jesus. And this is what we say when we talk about in the Creed that I believe in the Holy Ghost. We don't say this statement just as a Trinitarian concept that there is both God, Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit. But rather, we believe that, yes, when I say I believe in the Holy Spirit, I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit at work in my life. I believe the power of the Holy Spirit is with me today in this moment. And so when we say I believe in the Holy Ghost, in the Creed, this, I believe, is what we mean and what we should say. Now, Jesus tells us, though, that he won't leave us alone. You know, one of the remarkable things that happened in the life of Jesus is he knew that he was going to die, and he knew that one day he physically would not be present with his followers anymore. His followers didn't quite understand what he was talking about, but he says, "But it is far better for you that I do go, because when I leave and go back to the Father, we will both send the Holy Spirit with you, an active and living presence that will both guide you and direct you in your life." And this is what Paul says. How do we then, as Paul talks about, live in the Spirit? And then how do we make sense of what Jesus talks about, the Holy Spirit now being given to us? And this is that chapter in John 14 where we can join these two concepts together and we understand what Jesus is talking about, of why he gives us the Holy Spirit. Now, this morning, I want to highlight just three ways in which we see the Holy Spirit at work, refining us, purifying us, leading us to live in the Spirit. So there's three ways, both helper, comforter, and advocate. Now, the first way that the Holy Spirit comes to us is as a helper. And a helper primarily means someone that provides you assistance in a time of need. But that is only a very small way of looking at help. The way that God is using this word helper is he's talking about someone that provides you the strength and the energy to do the right thing at the right time. I'm going to share with you a personal story of this week. By the way, this is not anybody that anybody knows. So don't try to think to yourself, who's he talking about? There is an elderly woman who calls me fairly frequently, a few times a day. Most of the time I answer it, some days I don't. This week especially, I just was like not in the mood. And I don't know if you've ever not been in the mood either, but I was just not having it this week. And she had called and called and called and didn't really feel bad about it until Thursday morning when the prod hit my heart. And that prod is always the Holy Spirit. And I was like, oh gosh. I was like, all right, what's going on, Spirit? What are you speaking? I feel the prod. And all of a sudden, what was really prodding to me was just this conversation that I needed to have with this lady. I wasn't going to get anything out of this. It was really just for her. But one thing I prayed, and I said, God, I just don't want to do this. I don't want to call her. And this is important, folks, because one of the things that we need to learn and grow in our faith is to be honest before God. There is a lie within Christianity that if we believe it, we destroy ourselves, and that is that what God wants is perfection out of each and every one of us. Folks, I'm here to tell you, you need to be completely honest with the Lord, 100% honest with God. Because it is only in that honesty that we present to the Lord that his Spirit will help us in our times of weakness. I said, God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to give this phone call back. And all of a sudden, I felt strength to do it. And I did the right thing. I loved and I stood with someone who just needed to be loved and encouraged. Now, this is a very small example. There are much larger examples that you and I could think about together of where we have needed the Holy Spirit to be a helper, where we have needed and faced to decide what is the right choice, what is the right decision, and strength to make that right choice. But yet, I'm always believing and I'm always amazed that God meets us in the very small things of life, even if it is just to call somebody and to spend a little bit of time with them when you don't want to do it. The second way that God is, Holy Spirit comes to us, is as a comforter. You know, at a funeral, one of the amazing things that happens is whether the person that is grieving, a mom, a dad, a grandparent, an aunt and uncle, a child, it's always amazing to see, if you take a step back, the people that crowd around them and love, give a hug, a word of encouragement. You know, and one of the privileges I have is that weeks later, I get to visit with people who have experienced a deep loss in their lives, and I get to just check in with them. And 9 out of 10 times when I ask somebody, how are you doing? They all say, you know, I'm doing really good. And I'll say, how come? I've just had so many people call on me, support me, love me, take me out to dinner, bring me dinner. I've just had a lot of people come to me in this time of grief. Now, nothing has changed for this person. The loved one is still dead. But yet, there is something that we understand as humans, that when we comfort one another, we now then have the energy and the strength to keep going on, to keep pushing forward. Jesus says, the Holy Spirit is that comforter for us as well. There are times in our lives when the stress, the tyranny of the moment is so big, that only thing we can have is the comfort to know that we will be okay in the end. And when those moments come, Jesus says, my Holy Spirit will come to you and will be a comforter to make sure that you have the strength and the energy to endure and to continue. The last way that Jesus describes the Holy Spirit is he calls him the advocate. Now, the advocate is really, it's a Greek legal term, probably similar to what we would say a lawyer is on our day. An advocate was someone who would plead your case, plead your cause before the courts. Now, we fortunately live in a country where freedom of religion is allowed. None of us that I have ever met here at this church has ever been before the court system because they profess Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, we enjoy this comfort in this country, but that is not the truth for everybody around the world. There are people to this day and even this moment who will be wrongfully committed before, accused before human courts for their very faith in Jesus Christ. To this day, there are people who will die for the name of Jesus Christ before the power of their state. Jesus says, I know that there will be a time in the life of believers where they will face the wrong side of persecution. And in those moments, when you face the humanly court systems, I will bring an advocate for your case. Now, this is a powerful statement because Jesus says, now, in the earthly courts, you may be considered guilty. But in the heavenly courts, the real court, the one that actually matters, he says, you will be declared innocent, and I will plead your cause to the Father. You see, Jesus knew that his believers would face persecution, and they would need words, ideas to be spoken through them. We see this often in the New Testament when men and women are brought before the state or their court systems, and all of a sudden we read the words, the arguments that they present. Unfortunately, all of them die. They're all dead. But yet, in the eyes of God and in the courts of God, they are declared innocent and set free. Jesus says, I will bring my advocate to you. Now, like I said, most of us don't experience persecution to the level that I just described. And honestly, I'm thankful for that. We should all be thankful for that. So how does the advocate then work in a society like ours? I believe there's probably two ways where we see the advocate of the Holy Spirit. One of them is a word of encouragement. I've often been amazed by how all of you here encourage one another during times that are very difficult for most of you. you have a word of encouragement. The other is what Scripture calls a word of knowledge. This is when God gives to you, the Spirit gives to you an insight into somebody's life that you just didn't have any idea about whatsoever. It's just an insight. But that insight, for some reason, because God works in all of our lives, brings some sort of healing and brings some sort of redemption to that person. And I've seen many of you work and operate in that gift of knowledge as well. So I think this is one of the ways today where that gift of advocate, the Holy Spirit, is at work in our lives. The last thing that Jesus says in his text is he says, and I think this is really powerful, you are actually better off today than you are while I am still here on earth. This is a kind of an interesting statement. But what Jesus is saying is this. As long as he was physically on earth, he was only bound by the space that he could inhabit at that time. But if he left, he said, I will be with you always and everywhere because my Spirit will go within you. It will teach you, it will guide you, it will help you, it will comfort you, it will advocate for you. So folks, we today have this precious Holy Spirit. We are the people that are moving from the flesh, which is death, to life in the Spirit, which is life. And along that way, that journey of death to life, as Paul describes, the Spirit meets us in the middle, providing us help, comfort, and advocacy. So what do we believe, church? We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in its power. We believe in Him, and we believe that He is at work within us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks once again for your Spirit being at work in our lives. We thank you, God, that in so many ways you speak to us, you instruct us, you help us, you comfort us, you give us words of encouragement, of knowledge. We ask you, God, to be sensitive to your Spirit. Lord, we know that we have to pursue you, seek after you. And so, God, in these moments that we have, help us, O God, to seek after you. Please speak to us, Holy Spirit. We know that you want to, and we want to listen. So please speak.